Okay, well, then you would agree with Black just tore his hair out on this one, and he, in the most emotionally charged, passionate terms, told his colleagues on the court that they were paying political debts rather than performing a proper function as a justice of Michigan Supreme Court. That he recalled that who was been owed his nomination and who would the next time around owe his nomination to the people who were trying to get the election lost.
Well, the UAW's role as a litigant. Of course, you had Gus Scholl's case back years ago, and on the question of apportionment and so on. But the UAW, was an active litigant, and they were an active litigant in the sense that litigation was deemed to be a means of affecting public policy. So to the same extent that the UAW was active as a lobbyist, it then became active as a litigant whenever someone concluded that the courts could be importuned to achieve what they couldn't get in the legislature. One of the things that began happening after Soapy Williams and John Swainson came on the court that I had never seen before, in which I found trouble, was the manner in which the UAW communicated with the court. For a long time, as long as I could remember, the pleadings filed by litigants would go to the clerk. And the clerk would make copies and distribute them, and when they were distributed, they would go to each justice, and each justice's secretary knew what to do with them. Typically, she would turn them over to the law clerk for some processing, and eventually they'd get on the judge's desk. The UAW took to sending copies of the pleadings directly to the justices. They would file their statutorily or court rule required 8 or 10 or 12 copies with the clerk, as they were required to do. But in addition to that, they sent copies directly to all the justices through the mail. And your mail was processed differently than the interoffice distribution of opinions. Your mail, today's mail, got in today's mailbox. So if UAW was litigant, you read their pleadings a week or two before you otherwise would have. I had my reasons to suspect why that was happening. I can only say that they were the only litigant that did it.
I was talking to former Justice Chief Justice Coleman. Not so long ago, she said she was astonished one day in conference when she hadn't been there very long, and somebody knocked on the door, and it was a message for one of the members of the court sitting there urging the support of a piece of legislation that was apparently in some jeopardy over in the legislature. She took some umbrage that this was a way of communicating. I had never heard of that before, by the way, because for people who may be listening to or reading this in the future, the conference room of the court is more of a quasi-sacred place, and the court usually met there without the presence of anybody else. And if there was somebody else there, it was a clerk or somebody that was invited expressly for some had some connection with what the court was arguing and considering at that moment. Well, so much for that. This was the reason I thought you might recall this was Gene Black reacted in a way that, you know, he could get his histrionics up pretty fast. And in this case, it was the most strident, ferocious kind of discussion that I ever saw come from him and wind up in the reports. So much for that, though. One little thing to maybe I want to ask you about to be disposed of, perhaps very quickly. There was a case in 387 that you drew to write the opinion, something like Somebody's Plumbing and Heating versus Cadillac Sands, which is a hotel up in Cadillac, and it was a two-bit sort of a contract case. I don't really remember why it wound up in the Supreme Court. You wrote, this is a contract case come to us through such and so. This case was decided in such and such a manner by the Wexford County Court, and here is what Judge Peterson had to say about this. This is an excellent discussion of the case. I adopt this as my opinion for Michigan Supreme Court in reviewing it, and then I think everybody else cited it too. Do you remember that? Was there any particular reason why you...
I don't specifically, but I do remember having done something very similar to it in another case, but I couldn't tell you what case it was. I vaguely recall it. Bill Peterson is a man for whom I had great respect. He was a very good judge, and he wrote good stuff. And I think it was one of those things where his opinion simply said it all, and there wasn't any point in our trying to embellish on it. And frankly, I'd been a trial judge. Mm-hmm. And I think I had some concept of how a trial judge would feel to see his opinion in the books. And Bill was certainly somebody who was every bit as bright as the people on the Michigan Supreme Court, and had the chips fallen differently in his life, he might very well have been a member of the Supreme Court. And a good one. So I kind of thought if there wasn't any reason to try to improve on it, why not give Bill the byline, you know? I did the same thing one time with an argument by a lawyer. I think his name was Nelson. I think it was Walter Nelson, Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson, who was the golfer, made an argument in court one day, and whether it was a dissent or I think it was a dissenting opinion, I simply said I could not make a better give a better reason for dissenting in this opinion than to state the argument of counsel, and I simply stated it verbatim. And on another occasion, I wrote a very short opinion, a dissenting opinion, in which I said I dissent from the majority opinion for the reasons given in the majority opinion.
What was that case, do you remember?
I can't recall it, but I know I said it. It was a situation where they gave so many good reasons for going the opposite direction than they did that I couldn't have said it better. Mm-hmm. So I just said I dissent for the reasons given in the majority opinion.
Well, Bill Peterson was mentioned at time to time, from time to time, as a very possible appointee when companies, I think maybe when your vacancy occurred.
Possibly.
Because he was a Republican mm-hmm. judge, and he...
Wexford, Cadillac machine.
Yeah. Well,